This is Colorado Matters from KCFR News. I'm Ryan Warner. 80 years ago this month, America's financial system collapsed, plunging the country into the Depression. Today, we launch a series called Growing Up in the Great Depression. Each Thursday in October, we're going to talk to Coloradans who lived through the brutal decade that followed the crash. And we'll start with Bob Colson, who spent his early years on his family's homestead near Araba. It's about 100 miles east of Denver. There, the Depression coincided with a terrible drought, pests, and the Dust Bowl. Colson's parents eventually lost their farm and left Araba, but years later, Bob Colson moved back. He's now 84 years old and joined us from his home there. Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to see you. It's good to meet you.
I want to start a little out of order here. I want to start with the worst day. The day of the farm sale, when your parents lost their property. What do you remember of that?
Most of the people who left this area, their only alternative was to go to Denver and try to find work. So if we were going to move to Denver, that means that I would have to give up my dog, Pal. And he was my friend, and so I hated to do that. And another thing, I had a .22 caliber rifle, and I had paid 25 cents for it, and it had to go with the goods when the farm sale took place.
So it was the farm, it was the land, and it was everything in the
everything.
Farm.
Everything. My dad couldn't afford mechanical equipment, so he farmed with horse-drawn equipment, old implements that were worn out, and he just couldn't make the payments to the bank anymore, so he went to the bank and just said, I'd like to relinquish it. I can't even make the interest payments, as he had previous years. But that particular year, so many farmers were going belly up, so to speak. They were not accepting interest payments. They wanted some principal, which my dad just couldn't do. So the only alternative was to have a farm sale. And that was kind of a sad day.
By that time, the Depression had gone on really for almost a decade. And I understand the first shoe to drop in Araba was in 1928. And that was actually before the Wall Street crash.
That's right.
What happened?
My grandfather had written a check to his son, which was my uncle, and the check was in the amount of $35. My uncle went to the bank to cash the check and found the doors locked with a notice on the door that the bank had closed. Within a few days, he received a notice in the mail, sort of like a receipt that said, bank reported closed.
And what bank was this? This was in town, obviously.
This is the Lincoln State Bank, and this was the bank that was established by local people. It was a locally owned bank, and of course in those days none of the savings or deposits were insured.
And your grandfather had money there. Did your parents?
My great-grandmother, as you can see by this deposit slip that we still have here, she had over $1,000 in the bank at that time, and of course she lost that as well. My parents lost right at $700, which they had been hoping to build a home with.
I have to imagine lots of people in town had their money there.
They did.
What was the effect of that on Araba?
Of course, I was pretty young at the time, but the effect, we didn't seem to have any money. We never went to a restaurant to eat out. The only cash flow we had was a few dollars a week from the cream that we separated from the cow's milk and sent to Denver to be made into butter. And we would receive a check for maybe $3.68 every week for that. And we would take our eggs, which we didn't get any cash for, but we would barter those eggs at the local grocery store. And they would give us 8 cents a dozen credit to buy flour and sugar and the things that we couldn't produce in our garden. The effect was the same for almost everybody. Everybody had a garden, and we never really, I don't ever remember being hungry, because my mother would, I can see her working in this large garden with a big bonnet on so the sun wouldn't give her freckles. She always was concerned about that. But she would work in that garden and produce enough vegetables that she was able to can enough to carry us through the winter.
On the question of finances and work, when the country really plummeted into the throes of the Depression, the government made work available.
Correct.
I mean, through the Works Progress Administration,
right.
The Civilian Conservation Corps.
Right.
Did your family do any of that?
Well, my dad didn't participate in either of those two that you mentioned, Ryan, but he was offered a job for $5 a day if he would provide a team of horses and a device called a Fresno, which is a large scoop, much like a wheelbarrow with two handles on it. The horses would pull that Fresno, and he was one of dozens of farmers to help construct old U.S. Highway 24, which was a forerunner, went fairly parallel to today's I-70.
And that was government work.
Oh, it was government work. He was tickled to death to have that job, as was everybody, because cash was that was really something to have some cash.
And, Bob, in addition to the economic difficulty, there was difficulty with the land.
It was a constant effort to gain anything from the land because of the drought. Several years it was so dry that sometimes the wheat would not even sprout. Another reason was grasshoppers were very prevalent, and to help curb the grasshopper population, the local county provided a grasshopper poison. I remember my dad explaining to me, we got into our 1928 Chevrolet, and he put it in low gear, and then he told me to hold my foot on the clutch, and I remember my foot shaking because it was hard to hold it down. He said, now wait, I'm going to go back in the trunk so I can throw the poison out, and when I say go ahead, just let your foot off slowly off the clutch and then drive around in a circle. And so I did that while he sat in the back with reaching his hand in the burlap sack, getting the poison and throwing it into the field. That was very graphic in my mind because it was the first time I'd ever driven an automobile. Secondly, we had a...
Let me ask you something about the grasshoppers first.
Sure.
Do you remember them? Do you remember seeing
absolutely.
A lot of...
Oh, there were so many that they would fly and almost darken the sky at times. They were just so... Well, they were hungry and they needed to eat, and here's a little bit of greenery, and here they came, and they would just wipe out a crop in days. One of the other things that maybe not the same year, but either the next year or the following year, we had an overpopulation of jackrabbits. Now, we see these cute little cottontails running around. That's one breed, but a jackrabbit is a big animal. We don't see many anymore. But they had very long ears and a black tail. And
here's another thing to compete for food with.
That's it. And so the grasshoppers had their turn. Now it was the rabbit that would devour the crops. So in order to help curb that population, many of the farmers would, on a Sunday afternoon, they would get together and put a corner fencing up, sort of like chicken wire on two sides, and then gather around behind a half mile away or so with clubs like baseball bats or something, and they drive these animals, these jackrabbits, into this this corner. This isn't very nice to talk about, but when the jackrabbits tried to get away from being confined in this corner, they would try to dart out between the farmers, at which time they would just club them to death. Now, the reason for doing that was twofold, to get rid of the rabbits, but the county participated by offering a bounty of 2 cents for a pair of rabbit ears. Now, their ears had to be cut off of the dead carcass, and they had to be attached, or they wouldn't get their 2 cents. And so you can imagine the farmers competing to get these ears to take them into the county and get paid in cash. Now, that sounds like a story, but I witnessed that, and it stuck with me for all these years.
I can imagine that it would. Was that an exciting thing to watch as a kid or a horrifying thing to watch?
I can remember that the women thought it was a terrible thing, but the men didn't have mercy on them because they were taking their livelihood away from them.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're in Araba, Colorado, on the plains. We're east of Lyman, and we're talking to Bob Colson. Bob remembers the Great Depression. He was living here as a kid at the time. Now, the grasshoppers and the rabbits may come as news to people. Let me ask you about the dust storms, the Dust Bowl, which I think more people are familiar with. Do you remember them?
Oh, absolutely. Back in those days, the farmers were not quite knowledgeable enough to rotate their crops or to leave the topsoil dormant for a year so as to soak in the moisture, or to strip crop, or to leave it fallowed one year so that the next year it would produce more. So every year my dad would get out of his disc and his team of horses, and he'd go over the same land over and over again. And the wind would incessantly blow, especially in March, and that topsoil would just come across the land, and it would be like the darkest cloud you ever saw. It got so dark on some days. We had chickens, and they thought it was night, so they'd go into the chicken house and get up on the roost and go to bed in the middle of the day. Another time, the little school building right down the street, the wind would make the glass in the schoolhouse sing a little tune, like they would just hum because the window panes would rattle. But the dust was so bad and the wind was so bad that it caused each of the school buses, of which there were four, back in those days they had a distributor with points in them, the wind and the dust would cause those points to weld together. The buses wouldn't start. So each of the farm kids were doled out to residents of the town to spend the night. And I definitely remember spending the night in a two-story home here in Araba. My sister slept in one room and I slept in another. And the next morning, it was calm as could be. The sun was bright and it was a beautiful day, just the opposite from the day before.
But you just couldn't get home.
Couldn't get home.
Yeah.
No.
I can't help but hear these stories, Bob, and think, why the heck did you stay?
The thought never occurred to us, because where would we go? What would we do? My father only had a fourth grade education. My mother had an eighth grade education. And we were sort of attached to the land. Where would we go? What would we do?
You eventually had to answer that question when you lost the farm, of course.
Right. Then it was mandatory to go someplace. And like many others, went to the big city in Denver. And my father received a little over $700 from the farm sale and purchased a new 1937 Ford 10.5 truck and had a coal bed put on the back and started soliciting customers from the neighborhood in which we lived. Back then, the houses were heated with coal, and they would be able to buy a ton of coal for $3.75. That was great because, again, he had cash flow. Our rent at 1737 East 35th Avenue in Denver was $25 a month, and we had an indoor bathroom and a bathtub, and gee, things were pretty good.
Had you had indoor plumbing in Araba?
No.
No. Was the city foreign to you? Was it a playground?
It just seemed so different and sort of scary to me.
And we're back in Araba.
We're back here.
You came back.
Absolutely. Why? I don't know. It just feels like home, and it's just great to be here.
I wonder if the Depression, living through all of those hard times, gives you some perspective later in life. In other words, does it redefine what hardship is or what work is?
In looking back, I think the years right after the Depression were still not easy years, but I look back at those years as the most important years of my life, because it taught me how to live by my wits and how to appreciate every dollar that came my way. I think those were the luckiest days of my life to have experienced that. Today it's a piece of cake. You know, this is great. I know there's supposedly a recession going on, but I refuse to participate in it.
It helps that you're retired.
Yes, it does.
I suppose.
Yes, it does.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
I've enjoyed it.
Bob Colson lives in Araba, on the plains about 100 miles east of Denver. He runs the Araba Museum, which he set up in an old farm building in front of his house. Our series, Growing Up in the Great Depression, continues next Thursday with a more urban perspective from a woman who grew up in Aurora and remembers people coming to her door looking for something to eat.
One time, we lived out on Colfax, and a family came to our place, and they stayed several days. And we shared food with them, and we played with the children.
That conversation next Thursday on Colorado Matters and Growing Up in the Great Depression.